Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy, where we have inspiring conversations with extraordinary people. We want to give you the tools and the lessons that you need to fulfill your purpose while making a positive impact on the world. Now let's dive into today's episode. I'm excited for today's conversation, and I can guarantee you, listening and watching, that you will leave today's episode feeling empowered and in harmony when it comes to your work and your life. Today's guest, man, let me just say, she's got so many letters after her name. She's been in this psychology game, this coaching, consulting game for a minute. So I am so pleased to introduce to you, listening and watching at home, Marla J. Alberta. Am I saying that right?
Alberti.
Awesome. Man, Marla, before we get started, I hear you enjoy watching movies. Is that right?
I do. I am a movie buff. I love going to the movies, and I love watching on Netflix, Hulu, all that.
I love it. What I'm curious, what's your favorite movie or show right now?
Well, people sometimes get surprised when they hear this. So I do like scary movies. Okay. I don't like true scary movies. So yeah. Exorcist, stuff like that. I'm good.
I'm out.
But my favorite all-time movie that I can watch. Oh, so my favorite scary movie series is Saw. I can watch Saw, the whole series to me. Because I look at storylines. The whole series to me had a great storyline. And then I also, one of my favorite movies I can watch over and over and over again is Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Okay.
I love both. Now, my TV shows, I'm going to go with Martin and Golden Girls. Literally every night, small secret, every night I go to sleep to Golden Girls every single night.
I love that. I feel like at some point in our lives, we find that one show that we go to sleep to. I feel like there's so many people out there. That's so funny. I love that. Well, I'm also curious, what would make today's conversation extraordinary?
Oh my gosh, so many things. Just as long as the people out there watching get one takeaway they can do to better their lives, be more creative, to see the creativeness inside of themselves, I'll be happy.
Since most people, I mean, we just met previously in another Zoom, so I'm still getting to know you myself. I'd love for you to kind of share your story and answer, who is Marla?
Oh my gosh. So Marla is a Duvalian, right? So I'm born and raised right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Duval, so those of you who know, that we are very proud of our county name and our Jaguars, right? Well, most people are, right? So born and raised right here in Jacksonville. I know it's somewhat unheard of because a lot of people are transplanted here. So it's kind of hard to find an original person. I'm one of those people. I did do a short stint in the military. So go Navy. I'm a proud Navy veteran. Then I have always been a schoolie type person, love education. So I started my education journey kind of early. You know, I had my son, who's now 25 and married to my beautiful daughter-in-law, but I kind of started that journey right after he was born. So I started with my associate's degree in supervision. My bachelor's degree in supervision and management, and then associate's degree. And then also I'm losing my train of thought here. With my associate's degree, I had so many degrees. Associate's degree in financial services with a paraplanning certificate, then bachelor's degree in supervision and management. Then I went on to get my master's degree in adult education. And I'm currently in school for my PhD in IO, industrial organizational psychology, which a lot of people already asked, which is a study of human behavior in the workplace. And so I've been in love with that field for a long time. Have tons and tons and tons of certifications. So have a training certification. I'm a certified coach. I have a lot of coaching certifications, executive coach, goals coach, career coach, all of those coaches. But the fun side of me, all of that, to me, that's fun too. But the fun side of me, I'm a cruiser. I've been on 18 cruises, 19 through 26 are booked. Actually, I was actually on Carnival today looking to see if I can find another one because I need to get on one soon, right? So I love to cruise. I love going to concerts and movies and comedy shows. I love to laugh. I love to have fun. My family is very important to me. I have a very close knit of cousins. We're always together. If it's not all of us, it's a group of us. I'm with my son and my daughter-in-law quite a bit. I have a great, great community of friends. And I'm just overall pretty much, this is what you get. Pretty much my happy individual. Do I have my moments? Of course, but this is pretty much me.
That's so awesome. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being on the podcast, taking the time to be on the show. I appreciate you for coming out. And that's so cool. Marla, I'm so curious, why did you get into what you do?
So it's so crazy you say that because I knew. So how I stumbled upon IO psychology, this is a true story. So I had already been a certified trainer. I've been training and been in training development a long time, coaching a long time. So I said, but there's got to be something else out there besides just the HR piece to training and development or the HR piece to coaching. I said, there's got to be something out there about behavior and study, some things. So I literally went to Google one day because I was in the process of wrapping up my master's. And I said, I want to go on and get my PhD. And I knew I wanted to study my PhD behavior in the workplace and how people were treated. I know I wanted to study that. But I didn't know there was a title or a psychology or a name for it. So I literally went to Google and typed in study of people in workplace, coaching, training, facilitation. I literally put all these words in Google. And IO psychology came up. I said, oh, IO psychology, what is that? And the only thing that came up was a whole bunch of graduate degree programs. And I said, oh, okay, so let me start researching schools. And so I found a school to my liking and signed up. And here I am still in school trying to finish a darn degree. But yeah, it has been a journey because people don't realize in IO psychology, you're doing it every day, right? It has 25 to 26 specialization areas, depending on who you talk to. And those specialization areas normally sit in HR, but the difference between us is we work with HR. We collaborate with HR, right? So most IO psychologists will sit in an HR department. But with that being said, we are the ones that study the trends, study the behavior, while HR, they implement. They implement the pay practices. They implement the compensation practices. They implement the compliance practices. Well, we study them and understand why the behavior is this way or that way. Back up a little bit, how I got into coaching, which kind of led into the IO psychology piece, was I've been an entrepreneur since I was like 6 or 7, right? I've been a little hustler for a long time. And I started doing resumes. I did my internship for my associate's degree had an internship. So I did my internship in recruiting for my associate's degree. And I said, learning how to do resumes. So this is kind of easy. So people started asking me to do their resumes. I said, wait a minute here. I need to get paid for this. So voila, my business started. So I started doing resumes. So I started being a career coach. I decided to get certified for coaching. Career coach, life coach, executive coach. Got those 3 certifications first. Professional coach. Then went on and got a few more other certifications. And it's just been amazing. My business turned 10 years old this year. And if my friend will tell you, if there's anything that I say I'm going to do, I will change my mind sometimes. But if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And a lot of times I don't put a lot of thought into it. I just do it in that entrepreneur spirit, right? I just go and do it.
Yeah. I love that. I noticed you mentioned how you don't think it's work-life balance. You think it's harmony. I'd love for you to, obviously, that's a big piece of your whole branding, your mission and helping people understand that. I'd love for you to just kind of dive in a little bit more on that piece, because I know especially like a lot of my listeners are creatives, they're entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So they definitely understand the fact of like, it's a lot of hard work and there's a lot of life and there's that juggling of wanting to get the freedom but also wanting to work hard, because I myself, like, I'm a workaholic. I will work and work and work because I enjoy it. But I had to learn the hard way of, like, finding that harmony. And especially now with a wife and 2 kids, it's like finding that harmony in it all. But yeah, I'd love to hear kind of your thoughts and what you've been helping people discover in this whole space.
Yes. So thank you so much. I'm so in love with this topic. You know how everyone has their belief or their calling. I truly believe I'm placed on this earth to help people realize they can do it too. Mm-hmm. Right. And they can do it regardless of circumstances, regardless of how many kids you got, how many spouses you got, how many pets you have, whatever. I'm not here to judge. Do what you want to do. It's the best. Right. Regardless of what you worship, don't worship, sexuality, whatever. Who cares? You can do whatever you put your mind to do. But a lot of folks get caught up, what I've learned in my coaching and about my research course, is people get caught up in the minutiae, right? Especially women. That's why I create 9-to-5. I create solutions for the 9-to-5 working woman to create work-life harmony in her life. That's what's on my website, right? And the reason being, because women out there agree, especially entrepreneur women, We were go-getters, we're strivers, most women are, right? But where are we at on the totem pole? Where are we at? At the bottom?
Yeah.
Kids first, husbands first, spouse, whatever, partner, whoever's, they're first. The customers first.
Yeah.
You know, and I think COVID, right? We like to go back and blame COVID-19 for everything.
Right, yeah.
Well, seriously, but I think the pandemic did have people wake up. That's why you have the great resignation and quiet quitting. Well, guess what? The great resignation's kind of been around for a while.
Yeah.
And quiet quitting's kind of been around for a while too. COVID just showed it up. That's all. That's all. But with that being said, I'm a firm believer because I had to do it, right?
I've
gone through two divorces. I've been bankrupt. I had to sell my house and move. I had to deal with a child that saw his mother go through two divorces, deal with the death of my mom. Both of my brothers are deceased. Taking care of my dad right now. He's my third child. My first child is my son. My second child is my daughter-in-law. My third child is my dad. He's 80, about to be 85 this year, getting him ready for another surgery. He just got through cancer. I'm his caretaker. Running businesses, working full-time, starting a nonprofit. And people always ask me, like, when do you sleep? Well, here's some tips, right? Especially as an entrepreneur, and even those who are full-time entrepreneurs, right? You have to find time for yourself. And what I mean by that is you got to schedule it.
That's right.
It has to be literally scheduled. I mean, I literally have on my phone, my Google Calendar, I follow it to a T. My cousins, they laugh at me. But seriously, I follow it to a T. Yeah. If it's not on the calendar, it's probably not going to get done.
Come on.
Because I control the calendar. I don't let the calendar control me.
Yeah.
Right? So if there's an event I want to go to, something I want to do, I block it. If there's writing time, it's blocked on my calendar.
Come on.
TV time, scrolling time is blocked on my calendar. I'm not saying you have to be that strict, but sometimes you need. Because if not, what you just said, workaholic, we'll keep going. Right. You literally work. You know how many things I've been doing right now? Like, seriously, I could be doing so many things right now.
Yeah.
I could be writing. I could be recording a show myself. Like, I could be doing so many things. Right? But you have to block and be in control of your time. And I know it's easier said than done, but you got to start. Get you a Google Calendar, some type of system. I'm a planner by heart. That is my hobby, actually. I love putting stickers on paper, right? I went to a planner conference this year, right? So I plan that, right? I love to go on vacations, right? I'm a cruiser. Yeah. So I plan these things. You have to plan. Grant Cardone said, always keep something on your calendar to look forward to. I challenge you, entrepreneur out there, creative person you are.
Come on.
Do you have something on your calendar right now to look forward to for you? Not business.
Come
not on. Like you. Something you want to do.
Yeah.
You want to do. And so that's how you create work-life harmony. Because if you balance, something's going to always weigh out more. Always. So you have to harmonize all areas of your life, all your life. So there's this thing called the wheel of life. And there's different versions of it out there. Some wheel of life have 8 slices. Some have 6. I've seen a wheel of life that has 12 slices. Whatever. The main ones are career, family, hobbies, religion, spiritual is what it is. But those are some of the main parts of the pie. I believe all those can be harmonized.
Yeah.
Some of them may take more precedence over others. That's life, obviously. We're asking for perfection here. And I think sometimes we seek or try to look for perfection. And it doesn't exist. I am that robot, right? I get tired too.
Yeah.
Right? I do. I get tired. I get exhausted. You know, but there are times where I know I have to keep going, and I do. But I also know I have planned. I got my massage last night. Yeah. I have a nail appointment on my calendar every 2 weeks. I get my hair done. I go to the movies by myself. I travel by myself. I just came from a conference last week by myself. I do things to make sure Marla is first. It's not selfish. So that's why I came up with my book, my latest book called The Ultimate Brag Book, 100 Awesome Questions About Yourself. Because I saw that these women, men, I coach men too.
Yeah.
Nobody was first. I mean, everybody else was first but them. Right. Everybody else was first. So I came up with this book so they can literally brag about themselves. How often do you sit down to the pen and write down things that you like? Your favorite cars. Like you just asked me, favorite movies. Yeah. How often do you write that down? When's the last time you wrote that down? Right? About it.
Yeah.
You probably didn't. You probably haven't wrote it down. right? Because you're not thinking about what's best for you. And people have found this book to be so amazing. Like, it's out there on Amazon. If you go to my site, I can send you a signed copy if you purchase it from my site. But it has been a game changer. And I'm so excited to have written it. And I've got more books and stuff coming. I've got a part two I'm working on as we speak. But I know I'm so passionate about this. So tell me to shut up when I need to. But I'm just a firm believer that you can. And it's all this mindset. If you can't, you probably won't.
Yeah.
There is no if and but. It's not rocket science, right? If you can't, if you don't believe you can do something, then you know it. No one's more correct than you are.
Come on. Come on, man.
It's
already so good. Thank you for sharing and going off. I'm not going to stop you once you get going. So I love it. I love it. And I totally agree. I think that's one of the hardest things we have to come to grips with, even as I look at it as even the creative people that may be listening, because we love to put others before ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. If you care about people, you want to help people, that's great. And I'm all for that myself. You're in the service industry. You're in that industry of helping people, but you can't pour from an empty cup. And I think that's people always will revert back to, like, I'm burnt out, I'm overwhelmed. And I'm like, when was the last time you scheduled time for you?
Yeah.
When was and the whole scheduling piece, 100%.
Now do it.
I schedule it every day. I see the same things. And it's always I like to start my day with that, because I know if I can start my day with doing something for myself, obviously, I mean, I'm a man of faith. I believe in God, Jesus. So I make sure my time with God is number one. But after that, I mean, I'm hopping in a cold plunge. I'm working out. I'm doing the things that I know will make me ready to take care of my two kids and juggle my coaching clients and be there for my wife and be involved in my local church. I only do all those things because I get up the extra hour, 30 minutes, whatever it may take. I look at the time I do have, not the hour I don't. Mm-hmm. And I do the one thing I know is going to help me get me to the next level. Amen. It's so good. I love what you said there. But one thing I'm curious about, I mean, both being in the coaching field, what do you think's one of the common misconceptions when it comes to getting a coach and getting those mentors?
Yeah. Oh gosh, there's so many, Rand. Okay, so let's go. Let's start with this. Let me start with this. Coaching is a non-regulated field.
Yeah.
What I mean by that, and you know what I mean by that, what we mean by that is you can go to Burger King, McDonald's, I don't care, Arby's, .com, and get a coach, right? I mean, no hate on those restaurants. I like those. No. Okay, those restaurants. But I'm just saying, it doesn't matter, right? You have people out there who've been married 20 years, and they call themselves a married coach, and they're making millions, and they're not certified. So what we mean by non-regulated is there's no governing body that says, you have to get certified in order to make money in this field. So that's where a lot of the misconceptions come from, because people just wake up one morning and call themselves coach, right? I have nothing against that. I got certified because I want to understand, yeah, sure, I got expertise. I got that. Okay, great. Pat on the back. Wonderful. But I wanted to, because I'm a researcher, because I'm a studier, I wanted to understand the science behind coaching. That's why I got certified. And the only way to learn this was through certification, unless you read a lot, which I read a lot too. But going through the certification gave me time to really understand where coaching came from, really understand the science behind it, practice it, because we had to use practicums and all that to get a certification. I went through World Coach Institute, right? ICF, International Coaching Federation, is the most widely known, right? But they don't own coaching. But you'll see on some applications, and I'm telling some people this now, you'll see on applications that says ICF certified preferred, right? It's because they're the most widely known, but they don't own the coaching or coaching industry. No one does. So that's a huge misconception, because no one owns, anyone can be a coach. What you need to look for in a coach to knock down these misconceptions is, why do you need a coach? What problem are you trying to solve? So apparently you have a problem to solve, right? Apparently something's going on that you need an outside guidance, because we're not counselors, right? We're not therapists. We're not going to tell you what to do step after step. I'm not saying that's all therapists do, right? But therapists kind of dig deep into the past. Coaching, we can start off the path, but we're going to bring you forward and we're going to move you forward, right? We're going to keep moving you forward. And we're going to guide you by asking you. So my coaching philosophy is strategic, empathetic, unscripted questions. S-E.
Love that.
You. Strategic is because I've been taught to be strategic with you.
Yeah.
Empathetic is because I've 99% of my clients, whether they've been male or female, I've walked in their shoes. Yeah. Unscripted is, and some coaches do script. They'll get scripts. But I have been trained to listen to what you're saying and what you're not saying. So therefore, I develop my questions. I'm so good at it, right? I develop my questions based off of what you're saying or not saying. And sometimes those questions are hard, right? And when you're looking for a coach, make sure that coach is confident. Make sure they believe in their abilities. I believe I can coach anybody on anything.
Come on.
Am I a tech coach? Am I a tech whiz? Am I engineering whiz?
Nope.
I'm not. But coaching is a skill. Coaching has a philosophy and science behind coaching, right? So if I can coach someone in their marriage and I'm not married, right? If I can coach somebody in their marriage, I can coach somebody in their career. Yeah. Coaching is a series of asking strategic, empathetic, unscripted questions. Period.
Yeah.
Period. Now, should you niche down or niche down? Yeah, of course you should. So no one's a coach in all fields. I don't coach in all fields, right? I mean, that's too much for anybody to do, right? But I said it to say you want to have confidence in what you're doing. And so find a coach that has confidence in it. So I think it's where the misconceptions come in at, because number one, people think that they can just do it and anyone can become a coach. And anyone can become a coach. You don't have to get certified. I don't think it's certified. So whatever. So I'm just going to, whatever. That's fine. So people kind of shy away. And then also, let me say this too. The third thing is pricing.
Yeah.
Right. Pricing. When you start off as a new coach, you might not charge that much. And I'm not cheap, right, as a coach. But I know the value I can bring.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee what you'll get. What I can't guarantee what you'll do.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee what I'll do.
Come on.
Right. I can't guarantee what you'll do now. I can't promise you you'll be an amazing person because you got to do the work. Right? So I don't know. But I can guarantee what Marla can do as your coach. I 100% guarantee. And that's what you need to find. You need to find that in the person. Right? And I have yet, knock on wood, have yet to have a dissatisfied customer.
Hey, I just wanted to pause here and give you the opportunity to either apply to be a guest on this show or give you the opportunity to work with me as your coach. To do that, you will find either of those links in the description that'll say either be a guest on the show or book a free 30-minute Zoom discovery call. Each path will get you headed towards living your most creative and fulfilled life as you learn to live better than best. All right, now back to today's conversation.
I've had many customers where I've had to work through some things and coach, because you can't coach everyone the same.
You can't. Come on.
I can learn that. One of my clients taught me that, actually.
Yeah.
And I humble myself. Not saying I came in all humpus and pompous, I'm not, right? But you cannot coach everyone the same way. And one of my clients was like, look, we gotta talk. And I'm like, shit, oh man, I'm like, oh, you know what? Ew.
Right.
And long story short, she wound up getting a job in HR that she wanted, and she's happy-go-lucky right now.
Mom.
You know? So I know that I said a lot, but those are those main misconceptions. And I think you have to just do the research. And how long has that coach been coaching? What have they been doing? What do you like them? First, like them, because coach them.
It's a partnership,
right? You know, I don't want anyone coming to me that doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to know me, but when you watch my videos or look at my quotes or whatever on Instagram or whatever you may see, do you like content I'm putting out? You know, I don't coach someone that doesn't like me.
Come on.
Not me, you know, but at least like me or be fond of me at least to want me to help guide you, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Those are some misconceptions that come across a lot.
I think, it's exactly like what you said. What is that coach doing?
Yep.
Get that person to the A to B. Where are you going and what possibility and seeing what their clients have gotten? Because I know there's some coaches out there that are literally just in it to be gurus or experts. And man, I get so frustrated because there's people like me and you that are honest, that truly are here to help people get results. And man, I get so frustrated. So that's definitely why I had to ask that question, because I think it's important for those listening at home, because I know it's new, but it's not new as far as the idea of coaching. And every space, you've got people out there that are going to be great and they're going to be lousy. But again, it goes back to do the research. In my, hold on, my camera is not liking me to.
Not a problem.
It's all good.
Technology.
Seriously, that goes back to what you were saying. I'm not a technology coach, but I bet you I could get to the heart of the matter, the person.
Right.
I can ask those unscripted questions.
I can ask questions.
I can read between the lines. Oh, man.
That part.
Come on. I love it. I saw where you said your mantra was hashtag teach, train, educate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it came up with that a long time. Like when I first started my coaching and training business, I came with that a long time ago. And I love to teach. I've been teaching my baby dolls on my bed, right, when I was a baby, when I was 6-7 years old. I used to literally hope for them. We would have recess. We would go outside. They would play. I was a real teacher. And so I always had this vision that I was going to be a teacher. And then I found out as a young child, around maybe 11 or 12, that teachers don't get paid a lot of money. And this day they don't, right?
Yeah, they
Which
don't.
Is another conversation we can have around the time. Yeah. But I said, okay, I realized I had another skill. And so I said, well, I can draw really well. So I can draw really well the T-square and the triangle. So I went into drafting and I fell in love with architecture. Until one day, I'm sitting in my college for my associate's degree, because my beginning associate's degree was not financial planning. It was architectural design. And then they came up this thing called CAD, computer-aided drafting. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. And my professor walked up to me. He says, what are you doing? I was literally staring in his face. I like to draw with a T-square and a triangle. Computer-aided drafting, you're not doing that. So that's when I changed my major and I said, okay, I'm going to move on to something else. But the teaching piece never left me. So in my business, that's why it's a training, coaching and training company. I have been training folks for so long, and I train people on soft skills, right? I've been training a lot of businesses. I do a lot of that with businesses. I'm a small business, especially though they're my heart in nonprofit, but helping them to see the soft skills and doing a lot of leadership training as well. Teach, train, educate. Those three just align. Because I'm teaching you, I'm training you, I'm educating you, right? And then I have to ensure that there's some type of learning transfer, right? You can tell I'm a trainer, I'm using all these training words, but learning transfer, right? Now, it's my job to make sure that I'm providing that and the client or the participant walks away with something tangible that they can go do, right? And that's throughout my quotes, that's throughout books I've written and continue to write, articles I write. What are you going to do? How are you going to transform yourself? Teach, train, educate. I'm going to forever be a teacher, a trainer, and an educator for life. That's who I am. I'm going to do that regardless. I've accepted that. That's me. I'm going to do that regardless. And I do that through my coaching. I do that through my writing. I do that through my business. I do that in so many avenues. It literally brings me joy. And every time you've heard this before, every time I teach something, I learn something, right? Yeah. A good way to learn something is teaching.
So true. I also teach drum lessons. And it's funny, I've had so many people come up to me and they're like, man, just in the last few months, I've noticed you've gotten even better. They're like, I didn't even know that was possible. And you'd have that moment where you're like, you know what? Thank you. That comes from teaching. Because it's like when you get down to the smallest of minutia of the thing that you're having to teach, you have to learn it so thoroughly. It would make you better in the process. Man, I love that so much.
Yeah.
So I was going to circle back. So your niche is women, correct?
I've coached plenty of men. I have more women, but I have coached plenty of men.
So I'm curious, what advice would you give? Maybe there's some men listening, watching at home, maybe myself, and we want to support our spouse, those strong women in our lives. What would be that advice that you would give them in this space?
Oh my gosh, listen. We just want to be heard. We just want to be supported. It's not rocket science, right? But it's not rocket science. Listen, pay attention. P- pay attention. So if she's in the store and she's stressing over, you know, a dress that she wants, so there's only one she's going to get, go back the next day and buy the other one. You know, pay attention to the small thing. If her favorite candy is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, I mean, hint, that's mine, right? You know that. Buy the store on the way home from work and bring her Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Women like the small thing. I can't speak for every single woman, right? But majority of us do. We like the small thing. The big things are good too. Trips and big stuff, that's good too, right? Surprise with a cruise. But I think the most important thing, listen and make her feel included. Do it in that way to where you want to be understood and express yourself. Be who you are. And then that spouse, whoever that spouse is, allow them to be who they are. Allow the space. Psychological safety is a huge topic.
Yeah.
That we talk about all the time. Marsh. All organizations talk about it. But provide psychological safety within your circle, right? One thing, so prime example, my friends know. This is why I have such the best friend circle on the planet. My friends know I'm assertive. I'm very passionate. And sometimes that passion can come across real strong. Or feel strong, you know? And it's okay. But my friends know, they know my heart. They know Omar was just, and they know he ignored me too. And my friends, they're actually buddies. They love me and I love them, right? Get people like that in your life.
Yeah.
And just have, and something else I say to guys too, have a strong support circle. Seeing with men is they have a lot of guys don't have a strong support circle. But they're not close to their fathers or parents. You know, they don't have guy friends. A lot of them, their friend, their best friend is their wife. And I'll tell you, or spouse or whoever. We don't want you with us all the time. Right? We just go play basketball. And guess what? I don't want to be biased, right? So not all men like sports. Yeah. Go do something you like. Don't be up in my face all the time. Right? Go find something. Find a support circle. You know, I'm a follower of Darren Hardy. And Darren Hardy has like these 9 guys. It's 10 of them total that he hangs out with all the time. And they go on trips. I love that. I think they're healthy. Ooh, it's healthy relationships. So I know I gave more than one answer to that question.
No, that's great. And to piggyback off of what you just said about your last point, how men, we need to normalize men having real best friends. And like, I just turned 30 recently, and that's something that I'm realizing now as a 30-year-old is like, man, who can I get around me, other men that I can be? And the way I say it on my show is like, vulnerability is our super strength, and men don't realize that. For us, especially growing up, it's like vulnerability is a cuss word. And I said it in another podcast recently, but it's like when you can sit around, and I love this, I have a men's group that I lead on Monday nights. And I love it because, I mean, we're at all different stages of life. I mean, we've got older guys, we've got younger guys, and we've got married, divorced. We got all gamuts of perspectives. But we get in a circle and we're just honest and we're just real. And it's and we hold space. It's like you said, when it comes back to even talking to our spouses, is being so in tune in the moment, like putting down the phone, putting down the distractions and looking at the person in front of you and listening, not listening to say, oh, here's what I've got, this advice I've got for you, but listening, holding that space for them to process. And it's been such a beautiful thing. And it's like, it's so cool because we just had one of our last ones because we kind of go in semesters. So we take some breaks in between. And we just finished with a feast. We ate some barbecue. We definitely kept it very manly. But also at the same time, I went around and I asked them, like, what was your biggest takeaway from this past semester? And so many of them were, you know, you asked this question that made me think about this. Or it was this other question. Or it was just the fact that you held the space. Because, I mean, we've had some that were walking through a lot of stuff. Guy lost his job. He was trying to find his next job. You know, some were battling relational issues, and just being able to hold space for them was just such a beautiful thing. And those listening at home that are men, obviously I'm a men's coach because I'm partial to helping other men realize that your vulnerability is a super strength. Like, it is so important for you to find that circle. Those people that aren't going to judge you for what you're walking through, but sit there and walk with you through it. I think it's so important.
Oh, I love it. create the space. Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, it's needed. It is so, because girlfriends, you know, women, we know to have our girlfriend.
Yeah, kind of easy. It's easy for women. And I love that word.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's okay. You're a buddy.
Yeah. Go play basketball or go play golf. I want to challenge the men listening to take it a step further. It's like, if you can go play a sport with someone, or you can go do an activity with someone, I want to challenge you to have a deeper conversation. Yeah. More than, oh, my wife's getting on my nerves. Like, don't even bring any of that on the table. Like, be honest and be real what you're walking through, but go a step deeper. And don't be afraid to be like, I didn't have a great week. It was difficult, but can you hold space for me and hear me out? Yeah. And if you can create those moments for yourself listening at home, you'll be so surprised how your life will change for the better. Yeah. And if you are in relationships, that's kind of the flip of the answer when it comes to supporting your wife. It's because when you're 100%, it's not 50-50s. That's not what makes a great relationship. It's 100 and 100 coming together. If you can master your own personal development and have that confidence that we mentioned earlier, man, you're going to bring so much more to the table. So good. So good.
Oh my gosh. You just said something. You just said it. You're right. Well, hopefully everyone here listening is going to take something away. My initial wish for this podcast.
For sure. So I feel like I always like to have the conversation until we're full.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just about full.
It's overload.
But I don't want to end without dessert. So I definitely want to. I'm going to link all your
thank you.
You send me. So that'll be all in the description. And I will take the moment here to say, go give her a follow, connect with her. Mm-hmm. If you're a woman listening, or maybe you're a guy and you're a wife or a significant other or your friends, like, hey, could find value from her stuff, go check her out. I can't stress that enough. Go check out her new book. You've got a new book out, right?
Yes. The Ultimate Brag Book. It's okay to brag yourself. Bragging gets such a bad connotation, right? It's okay to list things that you like to do. When was the last time you made a list of all the stuff that you like to do?
Come on.
When was the last time you made a list of all your favorite cars? That's how fun the book is. Like, literally, it's that fun.
I love it.
We'll be free. We'll be free.
I love it. That's so great. But yeah, go get the book. Go connect with her. But before we close, I like to wrap up with these two questions.
Okay.
And the first one is, so I want you to picture, Marla, that you're at the end of your life. I won't say deathbed, because I believe that we're going to live to a full life and we're going to die comfortably. But, you know, you get to the end of your life and you're surrounded by all the people you love. What do you want to be remembered for?
I want people to say, this is something I think about all the time, actually, that I don't really talk about, but I guess people are going to hear it now. I want people to be like, at my service, I want people to stand up. They're going to have to shut people down because of the impact that I had in their life. They're going to be like, look, we can't have everybody talk. This is a regular y'all out here. We can't have all y'all talk. But the impact that even if it was just a small conversation I may have had, you know, a small virtual coffee I may have had, or I met you at a gas station and I paid for your Starbucks drink in line, or whatever. I remember her in her car or whatever. I just want people to say she had an impact in my life. It doesn't have to be a huge impact. It could be, like I said, someone, one person. I know you have more than one listener, but if one listener walks away with something today, I'm happy.
Come on.
If they email me and say, hey, Marla, I listened to the podcast and I heard you say this, that'll make my day for the rest of the day.
Come on.
Right.
So good. I love it. I love to wrap up my show by flipping it and asking my guests, was there any questions I missed asking you, or do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. So only thing I just want to bring up is, when you go out there and follow me, please. I just started a nonprofit called IO for Teens, and it's Industrial Organizational Psychology for Teens. We just dropped P because IOP for Teens, but it's not right. Right. So we say IO for Teens. And what we're doing is, we are providing the solution for teenagers to achieve their dreams through a science, and that science is IO psychology. We've broken that down into 5 classifications. Go out to www.ioforteens.org. Check us out. Donate $5, donate $100, whatever. Become a monthly donor. Support us. We are literally changing the world. Literally starting in my community. I love my city, and we're starting here. And this is going to be, it's going to be huge. It's going to be colossal. So that's the only thing I'd say you could have asked me about was a nonprofit. And then, yeah, just go out and support that.
Perfect. Perfect. Any final words? Any final stamps you want to put on it?
You know, there's a few things I live by, and I keep them right here. One of them is the 4 agreements. I have a little sticky note right here. And I'm not sure if you've read the book, but the 4 agreements are: be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and always do your best. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not perfect at interviews, right? I don't think anyone is. But I keep it as a sticky note right here so I can read it every day. So I can know. And number 2, the second thing I'll take you away with, takeaway is one of my coaches, because coaches have coaches, right?
Yes.
Coaches, we believe in coaches, right?
Right.
So I had a coach I had in the past. She said, Marla, and somebody else told her this, whatever you believe, you're 100% correct. No one's going to argue with you.
Come on.
Right? Well, if you believe the sky is purple, no one in their right mind is going to argue with you. Right. So whatever you believe about yourself, you're right. If you believe you're going to fail, you're right. If you believe you're ugly, you're right. If you believe you're mean, you're right. If you believe you're a great spouse, you're right. If you believe you're a great human being, you're right. Whatever you believe, you're right.
So true. Where the mind goes, the man follows, right?
Because as a man thinketh, I read it every January 1st.
Come on.
It's a free disclosure. As a man thinketh. PDF for download is free. It's literally a free book on the internet. That's how old it is.
Come on.
1937, I think. But as a man thinketh, you know, it's one of my favorite books.
Marlis, again, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. Thank you so much for watching and listening today. Let's stay connected. You can either click on the video or click that little subscribe button so we can stay connected. And also be sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at coach.redwallet to get more consistent encouragement and motivation to live your better than best life.